Hey guys, welcome to the Vanatic Podcast, brought to you by Casper Outdoors. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Vanatic Podcast. And this week we're coming at you a little bit different situation. We're sitting in the middle of Montana in a snow-covered field in a whiteout, waiting to get kind of a break here so we can go look for mule deer. And this week, I have got Ish with me. Ish is a guide for Daylight Creek Adventures. And
yes, sir.
Ish, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is pretty cool.
Appreciate you putting up with me this week.
Oh, you've been a blast so far. So
it's been fun, man. So, you know, so far this week, we have harvested a pretty good bull. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
So how now you have been outfitting for how long?
Well, I've been guiding for probably a third year now.
Nice.
And then grew up in Jersey and wanted to be a professional hunter, watching everybody on TV. My dad was like, no, they're not professional hunters. You should go to guide school. So went to guide school when I was about 16, came out to Montana down the Bitterroot with Rick Wimple Outfitters.
And oh, cool.
Then moved to Montana for college, and then, yeah, didn't pick up guiding until Lee was like, I need help.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me a little bit, like, you know, I wasn't really familiar with guide school. You know, from Texas, it's like when somebody says I'm a guide, a lot of times it's just a private landowner.
Mm-hmm.
But up here, you actually have went to, like, tell us a little bit about the class setup and what that looks like.
So my dad ended up going with me because he didn't want me in Montana by myself for a few weeks. It was me and three other my dad and three other guys and the outfitter. We went down to Darby and just camped out, and everything was outside. So each day he had a new class for us that we were gonna do every day. And yeah, like from caping to client management to like how to track animals. And
so why did you pick, well, first let's go back, what in Jersey made you talking about hunting TV shows or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
What was, is your family hunt, or like what got you into that?
My grandpa kind of hunts, and then my dad grew up in the city. Then when he got a job with the corrections facility there, one of his buddies worked there, hunted his whole life. And my buddy Brandon is Curtis's son, so we were about the same age. We're like, you should take your kids out.
That's cool.
And yeah, kind of unconventional, like you normally learn from your dad.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
we ended up hunting together and learning together.
So did you hunt in Jersey? Like, is
yep.
So, like, what does that look like?
I
never really think about that.
Another unconventional, because my dad likes dogs, so we hunted with dogs for everything. And then got into deer hunting too. So he actually met this farmer that he bought a dog from that had too many deer. So we ended up just hunting on that all the time, and then joining a hunting club there that our friend Curtis was a part of. And yeah, just hunted from, I think, 13 or 14 until now.
So when you were looking for a guide school, like, were you looking, I want to go to Montana and I want to find a guide school, or are you looking for a guide school and that lands you here in Montana?
One of the guys in our hunting club, he came out to Montana all the time.
Cool.
And the outfitter he went through was Rick Wimple, and he also put on a guide school. So
that's cool.
It was just a phone call.
<That's> awesome.
It was pretty easy.
So when you were telling me a little bit when we were caping out the elk, talk a little bit about how you learned to cape.
Oh yeah, that was very frustrating. So we got box cutters and cow heads from the butcher shop.
Like with horns or just?
No, just black Angus cows.
Oh, that's awesome.
They chop the heads off and you're like, start here. This is how you do the eyelids. This is how you do the nose. And just, it took me a lot longer than I wanted to. But
You got to learn something, right?
That's for sure.
When you talk about client management, that's always kind of fun. We've talked about that a lot this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do they go about that? And I think this is good for people too, who are on the other side of, and your client is like, hey, you know,
mm-hmm.
you gotta understand that the guides are people too, right?
Yep. Yeah. It was mainly just like, always just be positive. And cause like anything, people feed off of other people's emotion.
Yeah.
So say we have a big bull in front of us, like I will talk the same way the whole time, even though I know this thing's massive.
So we saw what happened this week.
Definitely did. So yeah, just calm, level voice, and then even if the client is not the person you want to spend the next 6 days with, still it's your job and you got to be positive and happy about it. And I'm generally a happy person anyway. So
how many days a year do you spend, you know, guiding?
Oh, it all depends on what booking looks like, but this year I'll hit 9 weeks.
Dang, straight.
Yeah, not straight. We had a break in between archery and rifle.
Wow, that's a lot. That's more than I thought.
Well, if we booked the last 2 weeks, we'd have been at 11.
And y'all take, so Daylight Creek, tell me a little bit about Daylight Creek. I know, like I said, Lee is second generation Daylight Creek, or is that?
Yes. But don't quote me on that.
Okay.
So his dad, Howard, started it way back when, I think about 40 years ago. And then within the last probably 5-6 years, Lee took it over.
Cool.
So in White Sulphur Springs, Montana, just outside, just east, about a mile outside White Sulphur. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, anybody who like follows Horizon, we were out here. This is the same place we came, Spring Bear. And, man, it's massively different. Like, when we were here, Spring Bear is beautiful. And,
it was warm.
Yeah, it was very warm. And now it's crazy. I mean, what was it? The first day we went hunting, the truck said negative 12, which is ridiculous for me. But it's really, like I said, a neat area. And then, like, Lee was telling me last night that their family actually homesteaded that property in 1878, which is crazy to think about because, I mean, Custer's last stand was only 2 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the property's got a lot of Native American sign and, you know, teepee rings and that kind of stuff. So it's just Montana's a neat place. So tell me a little bit about yourself. So, like, you know, you talk about hunting, but that wasn't, you did a lot of fire and different stuff up here in Montana. Yeah,
so came out here for school, then joined Montana Army National Guard, and then did the whole citizen soldier thing while fighting fire for the Forest Service. Did that for about 10 years, and yeah, just everything I'd like to do is outside, so
yeah.
Forest Service felt right, but
when you were fighting fires and stuff, did you see a lot of animals when they get you back in the backcountry?
Yeah, you find some crazy sheds.
Really?
Yeah, but also there's fire, then you see, like, bears that are burned up or it's weird.
So, I mean, how many firefighting missions or have you had to do in that kind of country?
Oh, I couldn't even count.
Really? There's that many up here.
Well, so first year was a little slow for me because if you have a big fire season, like, you could be wherever, but if you have a big fire on your district, then you're kind of locked in.
Gotcha.
So we had the Lolo Creek fire in 2013, I want to say. And yeah, that was something else. Like, it was a mess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can see, like, it's interesting. There's so much underbrush and like piles of brush and a lot of blowdowns and stuff in this country, but I've been super impressed with the amount of elk we've seen. So I've never late season, especially late season rifle, hunted anywhere. And so it's a little bit different experience with me. Talk a little bit about that, kind of what you see with elk, you know, from archery season to late season, you know, their habitat or their habits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what do you prefer hunting in terms of time of year?
To me, I always love bugling bulls, chasing them, because one, you can hear them, so you know where to go. You don't have to really hunt, but it all depends on the year. Last year, like, didn't matter what drainage you were in, you would hear a bugle. This year it was kind of quiet. They were only bugling in the mornings, but I think it also had to do a lot with the weather. Like, opening week of archery, we were in the 90s.
Jeez, really?
Yeah, 80s and 90s, so we just sat wallows for a while. But then taper in towards rifle, you would have, like, cooler weather moving in finally, And then we were starting to see the bigger bulls come out. Because they kind of like to have all the little bulls herd up all the cows for them, so they don't have to work that much.
Hey, that's not a bad strategy. I never, like I said, I never thought about that. That's
interesting. Yeah, they get them all wadded up, and then bigger bulls start sneaking in, and beat them up, and
well, it's crazy. Take them. You know, like I said, I've hunted really New Mexico, Wyoming, and it's always been small little pockets, and you kind of walk across, you find one bull here, maybe you find a small group of cows. Here's been, to me, it's been significantly different, and maybe it's just because it's late season, but, and I'll post a video, but some of the guys this week actually got into, like, hundreds of elk at the same time. Is that, I mean, do you normally see big herds throughout the season, or are you just because we're here late season?
Just depends. Like, on the property we have, we won't see that big of herds from what I've seen. Yeah, you'll get in the 70s maybe, but you go down down the road and you'll see 150 plus.
That's crazy, man.
But this area is kind of their wintering range, so once snow starts hitting, they come and funnel in here.
Gotcha. Okay, so they're not, so when we're seeing these big herds or even these, like, which is interesting, I guess, to me, too, that the bulls seem to be starting to batch their backup.
Yep.
And so now that we're seeing these groups, they're not migrating somewhere. This is where they're planning on staying for winter.
Yes.
Okay.
Because comparatively, this is the lowland.
Goodness.
Jeez. Well, you saw across the ridge.
Yeah, but man. I don't, you know, honestly, when you see it like this, and even like beef cattle that we've seen, I don't know how they find enough to survive through the winters.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either.
It's crazy. I mean, you're seeing them with like snow up to their eyeballs, trying to pick on stuff. So it's kind of interesting. And the other thing too, so when we hunted a little bit different style than some of the other guys did here, where we talk a little bit about that in terms of you know, kind of steel hunting through the timber in this country.
Yeah, I'll call it spot and stalk mainly, but you're not spotting until they're right on you.
Cause, happenstance and hunt, right?
Yeah, like you, because we spend a lot of time out here, so we just go where we think they'll be.
Yeah.
And then from there, we zigzag or cut a track and then do a loop, and hopefully they'll be there. We did a bunch of loops and found them.
Yeah, that's very true. It's very kind of interesting how they're grouped up like that. Like you said, that, you know, they're not really moving. It's almost like they're bedding, and you're kind of coming across them by you know, cutting tracks. Now the snow is kind of interesting to be able to pick up you know, tracks.
It definitely helps a lot.
Now y'all do, so like I said, elk for me is, I love elk hunting, and so this has been a heck of a trip and a lot of fun. But you guys do mule deer as well. And you've taken a couple, or you actually had a client take some pretty awesome whitetail.
Yeah, we called this one trashy, and just had a bunch of junk everywhere. Nice, solid, thick rack.
So how did that hunt go down?
Man, that one was another unconventional hunt. Well, they wanted to look for deer, so we sat in the pickup, kind of in a storm like this, and waited for them to funnel back out.
Gotcha.
And then once they funneled back out, we drove down and got around and snuck up on them. It was pretty fast, honestly.
That's awesome.
From when we spotted them, I mean, it was probably probably like 3 minutes.
Oh my goodness, that's really quick. You know, it's been interesting. I think when we were up here bare, I think we've legit saw more mule deer than we have on this trip so far.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know if they're like staging.
So from what I've noticed here the past few years, the mule deer, you'll see them in the summer hanging out, and then they disappear. Hmm. You'll see the does, but seeing bucks consistently is a little difficult.
Huh.
Like, as we're seeing.
Yeah, very much so.
But then, like I said, like, yeah, they just kind of do whatever they want, and then once it's rut time, they just show up. And
how long does that typically last up here?
A couple weeks.
Really?
Yeah. Like, my favorite week is Thanksgiving week.
Cool. So you personally, like if you were going to pick something up here to hunt, what is your go-to personally?
Antelope.
Really? So tell me about that, because antelope to me have always been kind of a funny thing. It's like, I don't want to say rabbit. I don't want to offend anybody either, but it's like, kind of like hunting a rabbit. Like once you've done it, for some reason, for antelope, for me, it's like I'm check that off. Where it's like elk, I feel like I could just do it all the time.
Yeah.
So what is it about antelope?
Well, one, it's normally warm.
That's a good point.
And like, you can just hang out with buddies, like we're talking right now, drive around, find one, put a good stalk on it if you're with a bow. If not, start glassing, see one out there, like 400, like, okay, then put them in the pickup.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like minimal effort, but still the same amount of fun.
Yeah.
Like, do I like bow hunting elk better? Yes. But if I had to choose, yeah. And I like antelope the best.
In terms of taste?
Yes.
How are you cooking it?
Just like a steak.
Just like
non-seasoning? Yeah, or burger. Like, oh, you said no seasoning?
Well, I was like, well, yeah, you just cook it like a steak. What do you put on it?
I put seasoning on steak, man.
So what's your go-to seasoning on antelope steak then?
Salt, pepper, a little garlic powder, and then sear it nicely on a ripping hot cast iron skillet.
So keeping it fairly simple.
Yeah.
Huh.
I do like also throw some unsalted butter in there and then some thyme and shallots and baste it a little bit.
Okay.
Then get a good thermometer. Once it hits about 135, you take it off, let it rest.
Now you were saying an antelope though is like almost impossible to get a tag up here.
Yeah, it's pretty hard for out-of-staters and in-staters, just depending upon where you are. I think it's the 900 series tag for archery. It's 100%. But if you want to hunt with a rifle,
like 100% draw odds and like a 4% get one kind of thing.
Yeah. Like when I first started hunting out here, I could put in for either sex and a doe tag and pretty much get it every year.
Oh, wow.
And then these past couple of years, it's like either I get a doe or I get a buck or I get nothing.
So that makes me wonder. So when you're looking at your clientele, I know, obviously we're out of state. Mm-hmm. You mentioned some other out of state people. What do you see percentage-wise? Do y'all have in-state clients as well? Or
yes.
Is it mostly all out-of-state?
So what we had for archery, we had one in-state, and then rifle season this year, we had two other in-state.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So because you're hunting really a checkerboard of public-private.
Mm-hmm.
And so really you're kind of using the private as access to mm-hmm. some of the public places.
Yep.
And we've actually seen, I've been pretty impressed, a lot of hunters in town, you know, in
yep.
terms of like the town camaraderie seems to be kind of fun around the season, you know.
Yep.
And even though we're sitting here and it's, 20 degrees and snowing hard enough that you can't see about 50 yards.
Yep.
It's crazy. But we had, Bill this morning got a great bull.
Yep, he did.
And saw about 180-inch muley.
Yep.
So we tried to go after that one, but it was pretty much straight down in a big hole.
Yep. And you couldn't see. Just snow in your face.
The closest to type 3. Well, I don't know. I think there may be one more that I can think of. It's like type 3 type fun on a hunt.
It wasn't that bad.
When you leave, though, at least for me, you leave a truck and it's ripping snow like that, you don't really know where we're at. Now, Onyx, very helpful, obviously,
yes.
In this country. You can't hardly survive without that. But that's interesting.
Yeah, it was just down.
Yeah,
straight. Just down.
Yeah. It's actually what's weird about the snow, I think, like I said, when we were up here in the spring, I'm not sure it's not a little easier to walk on the rocky country with the snow, but the blowdown stuff is terrible in the snow.
Absolutely.
And you can't see where all the sticks are and everything, and make it super slick. So now outside of guiding, I know you've been working in the evenings on a film project.
Yes, I have.
Let's say film project. So tell me a little bit, is that your primary gig, your side gig?
Videography, photography is my primary gig, but I'm working on a collaboration project with one of my friends who's a contemporary dancer in town.
Cool. So, What got you into video photography?
Kind of something I always have done. In high school, I took photography classes and all that and wanted to always do it, but just never was like, yeah, I want to do it, until I got tired of working for the Forest Service and I was like, I kind of just want to get good at this.
Yeah. So, like, primary, when you're talking about subject matter, you said contemporary dancing. Like, what are your ultimate long-term goal? Like, what is your perfect client?
Perfect client? That's kind of hard because I want somebody to just give me a project and then just let me do it, because I feel like I'm creative enough that I can make some really cool stuff. So that, for the short film we're working on, she just came to me and was like, do you want to do this? And I was like, yes. And that's like the whole conversation until I had three different concepts for her.
Cool.
And then she was like, well, can we do all of them?
And you're entering this into which
It's contest? The Screen Dance Film Festival.
And that's here in Montana?
Yeah, it's out of Missoula. And then hopefully if we get selected, then it'll go international.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So is that Missoula? Is that where you went to college at?
Yep.
Cool. What did you study?
Recreation management.
What is that? I'm not familiar with that.
It's silly. It, from what I understand from it, is you figure out why people want to recreate.
Okay.
Because it's fun. So why do I have to write a 12-page paper? And then studying, like, how to survey people for things. Like, it was pretty much math. Like, you had to take statistics classes.
So to survey people for, like, how was that fun? Was that not fun? Like, or, like...
So it just depends on, like, what project you had to do.
Gotcha.
Which, yeah, silly.
You don't see yourself using that in the outdoor space?
No.
No?
No. Never.
That's funny. But, so what does the rest of the afternoon look like here? Or the rest of the week? So we were here, I guess we got a whole week here, basically.
Yep.
Drew a combo tag, which is kind of interesting for people who are looking to get a tag up here. You know, best way, we'll talk about, you know, contacting Lee, Daylight Creek Adventures again. And then Lee was telling me, you may be able to talk about this a little bit, you can buy a preference point now.
Yep.
And then you can get an outfitter sponsor, which gives you a point.
Yep.
And then you can turn around and buy another point, and then party.
Yes.
And then that is the best way to get a chance to get a tag up here.
Yes. So if you want to buy a point, you have to wait until, I want to say, roughly July.
Okay.
And then it's open until September 1st or September 31st.
And so the party drawing, see, the drawings, I mean, I've done it in several different states, but it's not something that I'm very versed in.
Mm-hmm.
But so talk about the preference point, if you can, the preference point piece to why is that helping, you know, your chances, or how does that work?
So it just gives you an extra chance to get drawn. So if everybody in your party has 2 points and one person in your party draws, then you all draw.
Interesting. Okay. So is it true when you have a preference point, it's like if you're putting your name in a lotto, that's like putting a second name in there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And that's how I've always thought about it. But that's also, it's really interesting. Because I know, like, you know, I've been talking about, you know, Mule Deer quite a bit, and I've got, I don't know, 7 to 10 points in Colorado, and I feel like I'm never going to draw anything.
Yep. So Montana is probably the most confusing place for out-of-state hunters and in-state hunters. So you have your preference points and stuff, but that's just for general licenses.
Okay.
So where we hunt, everything is general. Okay. So general deer, general elk. But there's other, like, trophy units that you also would have to put in for.
Oh, on top of your general.
Yeah.
Interesting. So can you draw a general and a trophy, or is it
No, that if you draw your trophy, you have to use your general license.
Interesting. Okay. So it's just like, it's almost a special area you can go to.
Yes.
That's cool. So do you put in for those?
I do.
Any luck? And
I drew one, and my buddy was like, you're going to have a hard time. And I was like, no, I've seen what comes out of there. And he was right. Couldn't find a bull over 320 to save my life.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
at all.
That's still a big bull, man.
It is.
But if you're in a trophy unit, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
And, like, it was real weird. Like, I think because of the predation, like, there's a lot of mountain lions and a lot of wolves. Hmm. I would watch herds of elk, and the herd bull would be the only one bugling.
Interesting.
Like,
because everybody else was worried that they're going
to
get caught.
I guess so. Like, weird. That's the only thing that made sense to me. Why aren't you guys bugling?
Now, we've talked about seeing cat tracks, and I know that, you know, one of the guys in the party also has a wolf tag. Do you see wolves or cats much here?
See tracks for cats, haven't seen any wolves.
Gotcha.
So you go more western side of the state, that's when you really start getting into them.
Gotcha. And really, I guess, for where we're sitting is 2 hours-ish north of Billings and an hour north of Bozeman, kind of? How would you describe where White Sulphur sits?
Pretty much smack middle in the state.
Gotcha. Okay. So when you think about, I know, like, Montana's a giant state, right? So if you were to pick, hey, I'm going to go trophy elk hunt in Montana, if you were to divide it into four, which quadrant are you looking in?
Oh, I don't know if I can say that. Have people yelling.
Oh, well, that's right.
But no, I would say...
That's why I say quadrant. You don't have to give anything away. Is it just square Montana?
I would say southwest.
Really? Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
But also, if you go southeast, there's a lot more private land, but I've seen some absolute toads being pulled out of there.
Really?
Yeah, the Montana, or the, I think it was Pope and Young world record, was shot in eastern Montana like 4 or 5 years ago.
See, when I think of eastern Montana, maybe I've got it totally off. I have like this picture of, you know, where Custer's Last Stand.
You mean West
thing.
Dakota?
Yeah, basically. It's just wide, kind of rolly, big grassy, you know, knolls and stuff. And I don't think elk country. But it's funny you say that. I'd asked the same question to another guy from Montana, and he told me basically southeast is where his kind of... So it's funny to see how...
No, my buddy used to work out there for fire, and he ended up, I think he shot a 380 bull out of there.
Man, that's awesome. So those bulls I mean, again, we've had no shortage of elk and good, solid bulls. The bulls that that Bobby had on film, mm-hmm. the one he saw at like 3,000 yards, and those two that you've got. What kind of score are we talking on those bulls?
Oh, man. I really wish we could get our hands on them at some point, but they're all of 380.
Nice.
Like,
and are you seeing a bull like that
anywhere.
Every year?
Almost every year. Like, first year, was guiding out here, not so much, but these last two for sure. Like, yeah, the two that I showed you, those were from last year.
Those
insane.
Are awesome.
And then, yeah, you just never know. Like, the big bull we shot second week, he was with a bigger bull.
Wow.
I haven't seen him, but unless it's the same bull that we jumped last week.
Gotcha.
And that was a... Yeah. Yeah. Listen to your guides.
What are y'all running success rate? I mean, right now we're sitting at 100% on elk, but...
Yeah, this year... opening week, we only shot the one bull, which was really weird.
Yeah.
But that was like 360, I think he scored.
Nice. So one good bull.
Yeah. We got one really good bull, and it was he was 17.
Oh, man. He's spoiled now.
Yeah. He's like, you ruined me.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Yeah. Got him the last day of their hunt, and yeah. More than pleased with that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Then, yeah, second week, everybody did really well. Last week, everybody did really well. We're almost at, I would say we're probably 75% this year.
That's pretty awesome. And that's, like I said, you were talking this morning, you guys kind of do a one guy for 200 kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which has been, like I said, for what we're doing, has been plenty, you know.
We got lucky because we're one-on-one.
I know.
So,
it's because of, I think everybody's scared of your walking skills.
Yeah, you know. Well, it's just walking. There just happens to be a hill there.
What was I telling you yesterday? I feel like you're more like a sure-footed alpaca, and I'm like a miniature donkey. We're trying to take a... Now, we did, I will say, we got the elk out in two trips.
We did. So. We did.
Excuse me. But two trips over, what did we say, about a half mile? A mile one direction?
A little over.
Gotcha. Which makes it that... I was... Honestly, I didn't think there was any way to do that. But that's also the first time I've deboned them like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that absolutely made a big difference. More than I thought.
Yeah. Like, don't take out extra weight that you don't need.
So you don't... And you don't carry a whole lot of gear in. I know we talked... You and I have spent a lot of time this week just talking about different mm-hmm. gear and different things. And so when you're, like, going out, what are you carrying in your guide pack?
First aid kit, everything that you need to start a fire, some rope, emergency blanket, few different types of knives, knife sharpener, replaceable blades, and water filtration just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like my main, what I want to take with me all the time. Yeah, and gloves too.
Yeah. Now, you said, fire starter, we've had several different discussions about that. So this week, and people see in the pictures and stuff we post, we used the blue pyro putty, and that worked better.
So good.
I mean, I'll tell you, I told you I was not a believer. I've tried the white stuff, which is supposed to be their charcoal line, and I did not have the results we had with the blue stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was just light it and it's going.
And then Lee always carries the lighter pine.
Oh,
pitchwood. I'm sure there's some in this truck somewhere.
Yep, right here. We got some pitchwood.
Which is kind of, when we were up here for bear hunting, we like, it was kind of like hunting mushrooms in Oregon. We like hunted for pitch pine. It was kind of fun. And my boy brought some home and always talks about it. But,
nice.
And I don't, for you guys, I've never really seen it. I didn't even know that was a thing. But basically, as your pine rots up here, mm-hmm. some of it becomes, I mean, I don't know, it smells like it's got lighter fluid in it almost.
Yeah, it's just the resin inside. It hardens together.
So how much pitch pine, is it like something you're trying to find, or there's a lot of it, or? Well,
I just buy pyro putty.
You're like, forget that. It's way easier. Now, you said there was some other stuff. You said there was a cube that you
carried. Oh yeah, it's called Wet Fire.
And you think you like that a little better?
I've started fire on like compacted ice.
Oh geez.
And no problem.
Huh. And there's no shortage of wood, but, like, I mean, we got lucky where the bull that we shot was literally by a big pile of dead wood.
Yep.
But for getting stuff, you know, for survival-wise, you know, I'm sure they taught you some in guide school, but, like, what do you recommend in this stuff? You know, obviously you got to start a fire, but in terms of wood and finding dry wood.
Anything that's dead and the limbs are hanging off the ground.
Okay.
Or if you have a tree, like a sizable tree, scrape the underside bark.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So you just want the most dry stuff. And biggest thing with starting a fire, just take your time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just take your time. Start small.
It's hard to
take your time.
It was hard to keep it going this week though. You get cleaning the elk and you look over and the fire's down.
That stuff was a little too dry.
Yeah. That's true. Well, man, you know, it'd be interesting. So what do you think our chances of finding a mule deer are this week?
Oh, pretty good.
You think so?
As long as this snow doesn't do what it's been doing and we can see.
Yeah. So, you know, in terms of, obviously it snows up here a lot this time of year, but do you typically hunt in the snow? Or are you more like after snow, pre-snow? Like?
Sometimes you hunt in the snow, like as long as it's light enough so you can follow a track, like I was mentioning when we were, like, 2 weeks ago, that guy who shot the big bull was about to shoot a cow, but it was so foggy and snowy that we couldn't see 25 yards. But, like, I know they're there.
That's crazy.
Which ended up benefiting him.
Yeah. Yeah, he got the bull instead of the cow.
He was real happy.
I'm going to say so. excuse me. I had to cut that out and then cough there for a second. How many miles do you think you put in this season?
Oh, yeah. Depends who I have, but I'd say probably 300 or 400.
God, that's crazy.
Because it adds up when you get some 20-mile days.
Yeah. And you and I guess on average we've done, what, 9-10-ish? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. 300 miles. Yeah. Think how far you could walk in 300 miles you just took off and started. Golly, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. Just, well, Forest Service had to hike all every day for work, pretty really? Much. So, yeah, because if you get dropped off, or depending upon where the fire is, you got to hike to it, and then you got to put it out, and then you're running back and forth all day. Mm. Like, I think one day I did, I think, 15 miles and didn't leave a 10-acre area.
Goodness. That's crazy. So you still do Forest Service stuff?
Nope. Nope. Just running my videography business.
Cool. Now you talked about, you know, possibly wanting to do some filming.
Yeah, I got one hog hunt set up for this winter in Cali.
Cool.
And then still trying to work on some Africa clients.
Cool.
But I also want to do marketing and some YouTube advertisement, Facebook ads for them, because. Did a lot of research on how to get around a lot of the stuff Facebook tries to block.
Yeah, and that's getting harder and harder, mm-hmm. man. We deal with
especially
that.
Especially in the firearms space.
Oh, my goodness. We deal with that all the time. It's crazy. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you specifically, not Daylight Creek, and we'll talk about mm-hmm. Daylight Creek. You know, we'll drop in their web address and Lee's contact information here at the end. But getting in touch with you personally, either A, they've got a film project they want to do, B, they're going somewhere and need somebody to film them on a hunt.
Yeah.
What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Email or Instagram. So email is ishtpbrown@yahoo.com. Or you can get me on Instagram at backcountry_bougie.
I love it. Backcountry bougie.
That's and awesome, then man. My business email is ishbrown@outfitterdigitalmedia.com.
ishbrown@outfitterdigitalmedia.com.
Yes.
Awesome, man. Cool. Well, dude, I appreciate it. And it looks like it's lightening up a little bit.
It does.
I mean,
I can see trees.
The weather said 20% chance of snow, but I think they meant to say it's 100% chance that 20% of it's going to be snowing. Because it is. Yes. It's pretty crazy, man. Well, dude, I think we'll do something a little bit different. Again, I'm going to drop in here at the end. We'll put a plug in for Daylight Creek Adventures. Again, it's Lee, and I'm going to get his last name wrong, but it's Zettner, right?
Zettner.
So Lee Zettner, Daylight Creek Adventures here in White Sulphur Springs, Montana. And then what we're going to do as a promotional this week, since I'm out of the office and we're doing some fun hunting, why don't we do a 40% off on our IOTA stock for this week. So one week, you'll get 7 days to go on to iotaoutdoors.com. And when you go to the checkout cart, we're going to give you a promo code, and we're going to do, like, what did I say, 40-ish.
Yes.
So 40-ish percent off. So when you go in, type in 40-ISH in your cart, and that'll give you a 40% discount on IOTA products for this week. And, man, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
and
thanks for having me.
Looking forward to the rest of the week, and hopefully we can find us a solid muley.
Yeah, and hopefully we got to talk about your bull next time.
Oh, yeah, that's very true. That's
yeah,
true.
You did kill one.
I know. I'm trying to keep it a little bit secret, you know. I haven't put it on Instagram yet. That's very true. We'll catch up on the elk deal, and
there you fun. Go. Sounds
cool, man.
Good.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Banatic Podcast with me, Derek Ratliff. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure while you're out in the field to hashtag IAmBanatic for your chance to win one of our Banatic rifles. And be sure and get out this week and be Banatic.